Okay. Even when you read the literature of like how the Black Panther Party started, you read P. Newton and Bobby Seale, they relate a story of how just them two, not knowing each other, at some party or some political function, they meet, they talk, and they realize that they got a lot of criticisms in common of the movement, where the movement is stuck, and that they feel like there's a need for a more radical movement. They sit down, because their story is really instructive, they sit down and they come to an understanding that they need to have a more revolutionary ideology and that they need to have a program. And when they decide on a program, they say they need something really basic. They need basic points of unity that people in the community can understand, that it can't be something that is so intellectual that it's above people's heads. So they decide to go out into the community and begin to ask people in the community, what are your complaints, what are your concerns, what are your desires? And from that, they develop a 10-point platform and program. And what's instructive about it is that they were in the community. They wasn't just in places just debating and having intellectual discussions. They realized that everything had to be developed in community and in everyday life. So from there, already having a revolutionary nationalist ideology and already having begun to be influenced by ideas of socialism, their nationalism took on it wasn't narrow. It moved out of like the narrow constraints of nationalism that just was dealing with wanting a nation state for Black people, or was just dealing with something for Black men. You know, it was something that wanted a whole different economic structure, political structure, social structure for Black people, however that might look within the American empire. And whatever that relationship might be. The whole thing was that they realized that practice was what we used to say, practice is the criteria of truth, and that anything that we thought was a good idea had to be tested in practice. You know, so going into the community with all the complaints that people had and actually moving from people's complaints, the Black Panther Party was able to develop some ideas of things to do. Basic stuff, like one of the main complaints was the militaristic role of the police department, which was like an army, occupied army in our communities, or an army in our occupied communities, I guess I should say, because I don't think we're no different from the Palestinians. And from there, they decided to have what would eventually become like a cop watch. You know, and then they recognized that the children were going to school on empty stomachs, that they didn't have enough food for breakfast in the morning, and that they really couldn't concentrate in school. So they developed a free breakfast program, and they realized that people needed clothing, so a free clothing program was developed. And even those ideas of free clothing, free breakfast, free medical clinics, those ideas actually came from in California. An anarchistic group called the Diggers, which is based in the Bay Area, because the Diggers would have programs like that. They even had one program called the Free Bank. They had one a program where they would try to help people with money issues, or they would have a free clothing store or a free yard sale. People would bring secondhand items to a location, and it would be free. And from there, you know, some of the Panthers would recognize that this was a good idea, and that's actually where the idea for many of the Panthers' survival programs came from. But they related to what people wanted, what people needed. And what was even important for me was, as a youngster, it showed me that we could develop programs in our community that would not only work, but that would help people to get rid of their fears and to have a sense of a new sense of dignity and their own fight back against this system that was obviously, you know, trying to destroy us or just to keep us under its boot forever. So, I mean, you know, why the Panthers became so popular was because we related to people's actual needs, and we inspired people to want to learn how to fight back. You know, we inspired people with socialistic programs. We inspired people with a desire to speak out against the system, that we had a voice, that we didn't have to remain silent. And in some cases, when that was backed by arms, people saw that this group was sincere. This group was sincere, and this group was serious. So at some point, our founding was in 1966, but by 1970, J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, declared the Black Panther Party the public enemy number one. And it wasn't because of our rhetoric, and it wasn't even because of our guns. It was because of the effectiveness of our programs in our communities. And that they saw that a majority of Black people actually supported, in one way or another, the Black Panther Party.